Tennessee Healthcare, et cetera, versus Levine et al.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
3 minutes, yes, sir.
May it please the Court, I'm Jonathan Joseph. I'm here on behalf of NHC Bristol, which is a nursing home in Bristol, Virginia. And we are before you today on an appeal from the Richmond Circuit Court's decision which affirmed the Virginia Health Commissioner's denial of good cause party status in NHC in a certificate of public need proceeding involving the applicant Bristol HCP. Bristol HCP wishes to construct a nursing home just 6 miles down the road from NHC's facility. Now, it's helpful to understand the COPN process in the context of this case. A COPN is required before constructing a new nursing home, which is defined as a project under the regulations. Bristol HCP prepared a COPN application, which was supposed to be complete and contain all the cost information. This application was reviewed by the Division of COPN to ensure its completeness, and any items that were incomplete or needed to be added were supposed to be corrected and submitted back before the process moved forward. The applicant then appeared at a public hearing where those in the community were permitted to comment on the application. NHC, as well as other area nursing facilities, noted their opposition to the application, including noting errors in the cost calculations in the application.
Did you specifically say that it overstates, in your comments, did you specifically say that it overstated the capital costs?
What we stated is that the capital costs were missing certain critical information that should have been included in the capital costs.
But ultimately, the issue becomes, according to the commissioner's findings, that when they corrected it later, the cost of the actual capital cost that they presented went down. And I understand that that was probably because of an error and they had included things that they shouldn't have included. Was that issue raised at the public hearing? Was that thing pointed out that, no, you've included the assisted living beds, which you don't have to include? Did anybody raise that, or did everybody assume that the capital cost of the reviewable project was the $13 million number?
My understanding is, and I wasn't at the hearing itself, but my understanding is that they noted in comments that the information related to the cost of moving the beds from one facility to another was not included. As to whether NHC specifically noted that the assisted living beds were included in the information, I'm not sure about.
Well, my understanding of the statutory scheme is the reason you get good cause party status, the reason we have that exception to allow you to intervene later in the process, is that information was denied you to make comments at the public hearing, essentially, and so you get to come in and make a record later on review. And if everybody was under the assumption that the capital costs of the project were $13 million, even if they should have only been $9 million or what have you, given that they were counting things that they shouldn't have counted, if everybody's assumption was $13 million, and how is it a significant change if the number is actually 12?
The regulatory framework is focused on the project itself. You're here in a case which has never been considered by this court before, which is, how do you define the project? Do you define the project as whatever number they put down on the page, or do you define the project as what the statute says can be part of a project?
Well,
and so that's critical.
Okay. Well, I mean, and you've raised statute, and I understand why you argue it's an issue of statutory interpretation, but at no point in the process have you challenged the authority of the board to enact the definition of significant change found in 12 VAC 5220-10 or the content of 12 VAC 5220-230 regarding what good cause, what constitutes good cause, correct?
Well, the definition of good cause is actually
But they lifted from the statute, so I'm guessing you don't agree. But those two definitions, the board was within its statutory authority, and those the definitions it adopted are not inconsistent with the statute, correct?
The definition of significant change is more expanded than is in the statute.
Okay. So, I mean, well, you've never I don't believe you've ever argued that it's inconsistent with the statute.
I don't know that we've used those words, but what we've said is that we're challenging this not only on the regulatory standard, but on the statutory standard.
Well, right. But is the question becomes, if the regulation is properly promulgated and has the force of law, then we are here to judge the application of the regulation to the facts of the case. And so you would have the definition that the commissioner used and regarding...
Well, there are three assignments of error, Your Honor, and we feel very comfortable whether you want to look at it from a regulatory standpoint or a statutory standpoint, because either way, our position is that with regard to those first two assignments of error, you need to look at what is defined as a project. And what occurred in this case is that the applicant, Bristol HCP, chose to include significant information or cost information in its application, which should never have been there and was inconsistent with what is a project. So if this court is going to interpret the statute in terms of what is a project, it needs to look at how that's defined. That's defined as a nursing home, not an assisted living facility. And the way that the applicant, Bristol HCP, approached this is they included information, whether on purpose or not, included significant information on their application related to an assisted living facility. And that's critical because the project is very clearly defined, and if you allow parties to start including additional information, additional cost information into their application, then it really sort of makes a mockery of the process.
Well, except it seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, and maybe I just don't understand the process, inflating your capital costs when you are a project applicant is a bad idea. It will probably result in negative, it doesn't help your project if you inflate your capital.
I would agree with you, except that if you take the approach taken by the applicant in this case, that they can inflate their cost and then they can reduce it at some point later in the process, then that means there's sort of an incentive to inflate your costs at the initial stage. And as long as the cost you take off of it down the road is not actually part of the project, you have nothing to lose, because it gives you a lot of room to increase your cost.
Except you may get denied initially. At the public hearing, I say it's $50 million, and it's really only $20 million. But to the extent that inflated capital costs, the more expensive the project is, the more likely it's going to be denied, I have staked out a very bad position for myself, haven't I? And people will come to the public hearing and say $50 million would be ruinous.
Your Honor, with all due respect, not if you look at exactly what happened in this case happening in another case, because they went to the public hearing with a number that was well in excess of what it should have been. And then after the hearing, they were, if you take the commissioner's position, able to remove millions of dollars off of their estimate and insert millions of dollars in additional costs into their estimate. After the hearing, no decision had been made on their application at that point.
For a net loss, though, for a net reduction.
That's true, for a net reduction. But that additional information that was added was after the public hearing. There was no opportunity for the public to comment on those additional costs. The whole rubric that is set up for this process is to allow the public to go to the public hearing and know exactly what is in that application.
Other than the final price tag number, what about the change in the additional cost does your client take issue with?
It takes issue with the fact that there's a system in place.
And you're misunderstanding, right? Because it doesn't just give you... It is to allow you to comment intelligently on the application. To the extent you're objecting to the capital cost as they are now represented at $12 million, what issue at $12 million did you not have at $13 million, their mistaken number?
Your Honor, we were trying to obtain good cause party status. That's the issue before this court, whether it was appropriate for the commissioner to deny us good cause party status.
And to do that, you have to show me there's a significant change.
That's correct.
And so I'm asking you, what is the significant change between $13 million and $12 million other than the numbers are just different? If there are additional costs, that would have raised some other concern, or is it just that the numbers are different?
We have to show a significant change in the project. That's the way the statute is written. We have to follow the law. The project says that it includes a nursing home. It does not include an assisted living facility. We have demonstrated a significant change in the project. You can't expand that definition of a project outside of what's in the statute. So our position is that's what the commissioner was attempting to do.
If the medical facility is not part, should not have been part of this at any stage, then it's, the scope of the project was 90 beds being exchanged for 90 beds. And so in that part, never changed.
The number of beds.
The costs
are what we're attacking.
Right, and the costs were actually adjusted upward because someone required that capital costs include the cost of the waiver. Those had not been included initially, and that was several million dollars.
$2.4 million. So $2.4 million was added to the cost of the project, a 24% increase. And if you look,
an increase compared to what?
To the cost of the original project.
Because the information they had provided as to the cost of the original project was $13 million, which was greater than the total, correct?
The information they provided was a flawed application.
I understand that, but we're not here on whether the application itself was flawed. We're here on whether there was a significant change after the public hearing. And so I'm asking you, what is significance about a price tag of $13 million going to $12 million? Or are there some other costs that raise additional? Is there something else about the change in cost other than the absolute number that there is a change? There is a delta between the two numbers. Is there anything else about the cost that you can contend is significant? Is it just that the number is different?
It's that the number for the project went up by 24%. We can't get away from that because it's a fact. Nobody denies that the number for the project went up by 24%. The applicant would say, focus on the number that's on the application itself, but that's not the relevant number if you were going to follow the statute, because the statute and the regulations refer to the project, and that's the issue. This is not a materiality question in terms of the application. It's a materiality question in terms of the project itself. And the facts are what they are. And so those are two reasons for our assignments of error. Now, the third reason for our assignment of error relates to the way that this was considered by the COPN division. The COPN division, by statute, is required to consider the effect on the utilization in the area to be served. In this case, if you look at the report from the COPN division, it did not consider the effect on the area to be served. The area to be served is Bristol, Virginia, the Bristol, Washington County area. There's nowhere in that division report where they hone in on the area to be served, which is the words that are in the statute. Instead, they focus on the planning district as a whole, which is many counties, many more facilities involved.
Where is area to be served specifically defined as only one locality or one county?
If you look at the rubric of how this analysis is done, it's all about driving distance, how far. So the area to be served is really what is the 30-minute driving distance of Bristol. And in fact, the applicant itself, in making their argument, is focused on the area to be served. They're saying in their application, we need a new facility in this area. They're not looking at the entire planning district. So it also applies to them in the same way that we're making this argument. The area to be served is what is considered by the COPN division when they are considering these applications.
Do you agree there's evidence in the record that the Bristol, Washington County area has a population of potential patients that's higher than where the beds are being moved from?
That's not the. I would agree that there's information, but that's not the standard.
That was my question, though.
Yes, Your Honor. The standard is what is the utilization, and the utilization in that area was around 80%. which is low utilization, compared to 90% in the area where they were moving the beds from, which is exactly inconsistent with what they did a year and a half earlier when the division approved moving the beds to that other area. So the division itself is taking conflicting positions within a year and a half on essentially the same issue.
You've used your time.
Yes, we have here.
And so if you can wrap this up very briefly, we can give you a short period of rebuttal. But
yeah, we'll rest on our brief for right now, and we'll reserve. Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honor. I'm Sean Murphy from the Commonwealth. For the AG and counsel for the commissioner, along with co-counsel Matthew Cobb, who is counsel for Bristol. I would like to ask for 5 minutes and reserve the remaining time for Matthew Cobb. Your Honor, I think as counsel did, he went through the process. But I think here, if you look at this process, I'm going to take it through and show you why the process worked. The process worked because there are steps you have to go through in this to determine if the application is correct or not. Bristol files a COPN for an application for a project. There is a public hearing, and there is a review process where it goes through DCOPN and the hearing to determine if there are mistakes. And there are always mistakes, back and forth, because sometimes experts testify, DCOPN has questions, and mistakes are found. It is then sent back to the applicant and said, hey, please, can you make these changes and these mistakes, and then we'll go forward. And that's exactly what happened in this case. Now, it's very important to note, and Judge Huff, you mentioned this, the scope of the project did not change. The scope of the project did not change. And that's important, because the statute specifically says there are two ways to find significant change. One is an increase of 10% or more in the cost, and one is a change of services. But that's not what happened here. What happened here is simply the costs, money was in there that wasn't supposed to be there, and those other monies that had to be moved around. It's also important to note that not only was there a change in the assisted living bed costs being removed, there was accessibility charge, lack of amortization schedule, and salary information to employees. There was information back and forth. There's all kinds of information. You do not want to grind this process to a halt. And that's why there is a definition of significant information. As Judge Russell, you pointed out, there's no dispute that the commissioner used the code section. The Virginia Department of Health had every right, or the regulation, they had every part to enact.
But if the medical facility had no business being in the application in the first place, so you just look at the 90 beds, then the cost was inflated artificially by several million dollars at the outset. So we come up with, what, a $9-plus million project, and then you were required to add in the $2.4 million for the cost of the waiver. And so actually, when you're looking just at the 90-bed facility, the cost did increase by more than 10%, didn't it?
I would say that it did not, because the one thing the council was focusing on, he said the cost of the project, the cost of the project. Well, the project is the entire process it goes through, and the project did not change. It would be different, let's say, if they'd said, we're going to do a 200-bed facility, and the cost is going to be $200 million. And then, oops, we screwed up, it's actually going to be a 15-bed facility, and now it's only going to cost $15 million. So whoopee, we've been able to do that. But as Judge Russell, you pointed out, there's no incentive to do that. In this case, they had 90 beds. There was an amount there. And it's almost a situation where that 10% is given there. And I think Bristol was lucky, right? They got lucky because the money went back and forth, and it still was 10% less. And they have to be given that because it's 10% less. The commissioner didn't look at this and say it's a 10.1% change. I'm going to give it to him.
If the objection at the public hearing was to cost.
Yes.
The objection would have been to what they said the costs were, because that's the publicly available information, and that would have been to the $13 million number, correct?
Yes, that would have been correct. That's the only number they had at the time, correct.
So the only change, if one was going to object that the project was, quote, too costly,
yes,
would have been to a $13 million number in the beginning, and then as secondary party status, if it were granted, would be to a $12 million number at the end.
That's correct. And I think an important term here is bottom line. That is what the commissioner, when they're looking at for significant change, is to look to. Because this is a process that is back and forth constantly. And it's to let the applicant, who's not the expert, the applicant's filing it, it's going to go through the process, and the commissioner, who is the expert, and in this case, clearly we have a dispute with the facts and not the law, because as you stated, there's no dispute that the law was used, and the commissioner used the 10%. And what happens here is the bottom line, what she is required to look at, is the $13 million number. It went to $12 million. And that number she can't look at. She can then not ask for an amendment because the scope was not changed.
The significant change definition in 12 VAC, online I found it back to 1994 that it has not changed. It has been the same regulatory definition at least since 1994. When was it first adopted?
Your Honor, I'm not aware of that information when it was first adopted. I believe, I know somewhat of the COP in history, but I assume that it was, it has been there for quite some time. Your Honor, I believe I'm going to use all of my time, and I will cede my time to the person who talks slower than me, Matthew Cobb. Thank you.
May it please the Court. Matthew Cobb, representing Bristol HCP. I believe that Tidewater Psychiatric Institute versus Buttery and the standard of review are dispositive in this case. What NHC is attempting to do is shift the standard of review in this case to afford the commissioners little to no deference. NHC's desired standard of review is inconsistent with the rule.
My understanding of their argument is they're making really right now just a pure process argument. It's not that we shouldn't defer to factual findings of the commission. It's not the commissioner. It's not that we shouldn't do that. It's that we should have been given a ticket to the dance.
Okay.
And so I'd like you to focus on whether there was a significant change.
And I think Tidewater Psychiatric Institute is dispositive to that point. In Tidewater Psychiatric Institute versus Buttery, you had the same situation discussing the significant change regulations in 1988 case. The regulation was in place then. I don't know before then, Judge Russell, how far back it goes. But in that case, Tidewater Psychiatric Institute petitioned for good cause standing. It was denied. Their argument was that in the application, the applicant had stated that its land was going to be obtained as a gift. And up until the public hearing, they did not account for the lease that would cost $425,000 as part of the application. That was unknown through the public hearing. And so they challenged that under petitioning for good cause standing. And this court and Tidewater Psychiatric Institute applied the exact same standard that the commissioner did. The court found that the commissioner did not abuse his discretion and find that the cost of acquiring the site was not significant, relevant information within the meaning of the statute. The health department COPN regulations define significant changes as those that involve differences of 10% or more from the original application. The court in Tidewater acknowledged and accepted the commissioner's decision to approve the project, notwithstanding the fact and deny good cause standing, not saying the fact that $425,000 error in that application was not disclosed prior to the public hearing. And it did so in part because it accepted the commission's decision to approve the project because the cost of the project was limited to what was in the original application. They did not exceed what was in the original application. That's exactly the situation we have here. Bristol HCP's project cost did not exceed the initial capital cost that it proposed in its application. I also think it's interesting that the court in Tidewater Psychiatric Institute determined that the cost issue surrounding the lease, the cost issue that changed, was a finding of fact subjected to the deference the commissioner gets in those situations. And that's exactly what we have when we talk about the change in the capital cost. Those costs the commissioner determined were $13.4 million at the time of the application and were reduced during the process is a finding of fact, and there is evidence of record to support that. In the present case, the commissioner utilized the same regulatory definition of significant change and applied the same standard established by this court for determining whether significant relevant information existed when considering NHC's petition for good cause standing. I want to be very clear. The capital costs submitted by Bristol HCP were always for 90 nursing home beds. It went to the commission.
The application itself,
yes, sir,
said that the cost for this reviewable project, total capital cost, would be $13 million.
That is correct.
It didn't say for It didn't break it out. It just said the entire project cost is $13 million.
That's correct. So we were
described the project as 90 nursing home beds plus medical facilities?
It described the project as constructing and relocating 90 nursing home beds. It acknowledged in its description, you know, that we're building a larger building than that because we're also going to have assisted living beds and other things. But when you look at the application, you look at the provision talking about capital cost, it's very clear at the top of the page, capital cost for the 90-bed nursing home project. And those capital costs that Bristol HCP provided to the commissioner was $13.1 million for 90 nursing home beds. Now, during the COPN process, we identified some errors in how those costs were calculated. We calculated the entire building into the 90 nursing home beds. And so we had to go back and we had to change that and correct that. And we did so. And, you know, looking at capital costs and costs in general, we were able to actually come back with a much better number for us, about $12.1 million. So the capital costs for the reviewable project, the 90 nursing home beds, were reduced from $13 million to $12 million. Now, Mr. Joseph wants the commissioner to be required to look behind the documents she has been given, behind the evidence she has been given in the record, and go back and say, I know you told me that the capital cost for 90 nursing home beds was $13 million, but really, when I make that calculation, I've got to figure out what it should have been and then add on any changes you make in addition to that. That's a burden that just should not be placed on the commissioner. And when the original application before her was very clear what we were applying
for. Is there
for.
Ever a circumstance where a reduction in the cost of the capital project could lead the commissioner to take adverse action?
It would have to be very fact-specific, but I can't think of one, Your Honor.
And I guess that's my one problem with the regulation as stated. If there is a circumstance where a reduction in the capital costs would lead to a different outcome, a negative outcome for the applicant, then the regulation as promulgated, granted for at least 28 years, and we will find out when it was first promulgated, wouldn't cover that scenario, and wouldn't that be a problem?
Well, Your Honor, I think that then gets to, when you look at the definition in 12 VAC 5-220-10, of what constitutes an amendment to an application. And when you look at that, it's very clear that an amendment shall not include a modification in an application that serves to reduce the scope of the project. Our project was always for 90 nursing home beds, but there was a reduction in the financial scope of that project from $13.4 to $12.1 million. So we did not amend our COPN application. To the significant change piece, Your Honor, I would point you back to Highwater versus Buttery, where the court found essentially that as long as it was under what the original application was, there was not a significant change.
Do we have legislative acquiescence in the regulation, given that it is 28 or more years old?
Yes, Your Honor, we do.
And what's the significance of that?
The General Assembly, Your Honor, is aware of the determination and the decision of the Board of Health in promulgating this regulation, and they have taken no action to change that, so they have, in essence, agreed with the Board of Health's determination as regulations. Your Honor, if I may just very briefly touch on the third point. One final point. Our proposed capital costs were reduced, and this reduction cannot be deemed, as Mr. Joseph wants and NHC wants, to be a significant change. The Commissioner made a determination on the capital cost consistent with Tidewater versus Buttery, and that should be upheld. With respect to the third allegation, it's really a factual finding. I just want to restate that the sole determination is factual issues is whether substantial evidence exists in the agency record to support the agency's decision. NHC may be unhappy that the commissioner and her DCOPN staff analysis did not provide a treatise or more detailed analysis of the efficiency and utilization of nursing home beds in the planning district, but they did discuss it.
If there was evidence that they didn't consider it, that would be an error of law.
That is correct, but it is very clear that
both. As long as they considered it, it then becomes a question of fact.
Yes, Your Honor, you're correct. And it's very clear. DCOPN on page 221 of the appendix know that it would improve the utilization and efficiency of nursing home services in PD3. Our project would. It had a chart on the opening page of this analysis outlining the occupancy percentage of every nursing home in the planning district, and know that it introduced greater operating efficiency and services for the residents. The commissioner also noted in her case decision that DCOPN observed Bristol's project would improve the utilization and efficiency of nursing home services in PD3. Your Honor, in our brief, we've cited to the joint appendix to ample evidence and substantial evidence, the record that supports commissioner's factual findings on that point. And accordingly, Bristol ACP requests this court affirm the circuit court's decision and the commissioner's decision denying good cause standard. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Joseph, if you can use a minute, you've got it.
I'm going to talk fast.
Go with the murky plan.
Now, with regard to the staff report, the statute's very clear. It has to the staff report has to consider the area to be served. The applicant references the fact that the commissioner might have considered the area to be served, but the staff report never mentions the area to be served. That's a critical error of law in the part of the staff report. With regard to the project itself, it's easy. The applicant would like us to look at the bottom line number, but the bottom line number is not the issue. If there's a significant change, you need to compare something to something. They have to be apples to apples, not apples to oranges. So you need to look at the cost of the project first, and then the cost of the project second. It's a change in the project, not a change in the project plus adding oranges to it.
Do you agree that with Mr. Cobb, that the record, the application that they filed said these are apples at the top? They were wrong, but it said this is the price of the apples, $13 million. This is for the 90 nursing home bed project.
They were wrong, and that's the whole point of the system.
Well, right, but
a good cause party.
That would be what you would be comparing, though, wouldn't it?
No, it wouldn't. It would be apples to apples. The whole point of a party being able to show good cause party status is to be able to bring to attention these types of errors in the application.
And I know your time has expired, but I do want to give you an opportunity to answer the question I asked Mr. Cobb, and that is this. Given that the regulations have existed with these definitions since before I went to law school, in fact, I was in high school in 1988, so it's been a while. Why doesn't the doctrine of legislative acquiescence deem that the General Assembly has adopted these regulations as their own, as the correct interpretation of what is a significant change?
Well, we're not arguing there's something wrong with the regulations, Your Honor. We think that you need to follow the regulations, which consistently use the word project, comparing apples to apples, not apples to oranges. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That concludes the docket. We'll step down and greet counsel, and then the court will be in place.